they were painted in 1960. And the fellow that preached my ordination service made the remark, and I'll never shall forget the remark that he made to me. He said, any time you get up and preach the Word of God and feel comfortable within yourself, you better check things out.
Amen.
I'm not here to bring glory to myself, but I'm here to bring glory to my Savior. I may get emotional sometimes when Brother James introduces me and I think about the times of old and how the Lord has blessed us and how the Lord has used us. And I guess if there's ever anything that thrills a preacher's heart, it's to see someone continue to follow the Lord. Continue. That's a blessing. Really, really is. The first song that we sung, Why Should He Love Me So? The Bible has some reasons, scriptural reasons, because I can't think of anything why He would love me. No reason in the world, lost and undone, blind and helpless, I couldn't see. I'm talking about spiritually. I couldn't hear. But it took a working of divine grace. It took a working of divine grace for me to find the Lord. Did you catch that? No, the Lord found me. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. And He came seeking me. I could sit down and that ought to be enough to bless our soul. That ought to be enough to lift us up, to bless us. So I come here tonight not to bless you, but let you bless me. And let the Word bless us all. Turn with me to John 17, if you will. John 17. And I have written on here 7:45. And I guess you know why that's written up there on my notes. I'm supposed to sit down 7:45. And so... John 17. Why should He love me so? Let me give you 12 reasons why Jesus came. All from God's Word. And I pray tonight that God's Word will bless your heart. I don't know if you know, if you studied biblical numbers, but the number 12 is a governmental number. But also it is a number, and I kind of add this to it, a number of completions. How many months are there in one year? And that year is then complete, and we begin another year. So, the book of John, chapter 17, has 12 reasons why Jesus came. First of all, He came to me when I could not come to Him. He sought me, and that's the reason I sought Him. He loved me, and that's the reason I love Him. So tonight I give all glory and all praise unto Him that sought me, unto Him that bought me, unto Him that redeemed me, that took me out of the miry clay and set my feet on the solid rock. I had no part in any of this. Boy, it's tempting not to even use my outline. That's why He called it the new birth. Did you get to tell your mom and daddy, I want to be 6 foot tall, I want to be dark complected, I want to be this, I want to be that? No, you had absolutely no part in your physical birth. It is the same way with your spiritual birth. He sought you before you ever sought Him. And let me prove that, or let's look at it from God's Word. 12 reasons why Jesus came. In verse 1 of John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son. Here it is. That Thy Son may glorify Thee. I want to tell you the reason Jesus came, as He lifted up His eyes from this earth, when He took upon Himself flesh and blood, when He lifted up His eyes unto the heaven itself, and He said, Father, the hour is come. They had told Him, no, you go into Jerusalem today, or this week, or 2 or 3 months before. Jesus said, mine hour has not yet come. It'll be all right. I'll take care of things. I want to tell you that as we look at that reason, number one, the word THAT, and we'll be using it. It'll be the first word of every reason that Jesus came. And it is taken from a Greek word, H-I-N-A, for the purpose of, Thy Son may glorify Thee. To bring glory to the Father. Jesus made the remark, He that has seen Me hath seen the Father. Would we have ever known the Father? Could we have ever seen the Father except it were through His Son Jesus? Let me give you verse 2, and I'm going to have to go quickly to get this all in. Excuse me. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Now some people would read that and say, as the Lord hath given Him power over some flesh. But I want to tell you, brother, He's given us power, or Himself power, over all flesh. And it comes from God the Father. All flesh is in the control and in the hands of the Master. And He should give eternal life. Or that, here it is, that He should give eternal life to who? To as many as Thou hast given Him. Do you know how many times that's there in John 17? It's there 7 times. Do you know what 7 means in God's Word? Anybody? Completeness. I want to tell you there's never a tsunami hit the world that there's one life has been taken that Jesus intended to save. Did you get that? There's never been one abortion made that Jesus intended to save that individual. Not one. That's how big our God is. If He's not all God, He's not God at all. I can tell you exactly how many is going to be saved. I can tell you who is going to be saved. As many as Thou hast given Him. He's not a God sitting over there in the corner and said, I hope they'll come. I've done all that I can now. I've sent Jesus, and He died for us on Calvary, and I sure do hope they'll come. Brother, we have a bigger God than that. We have a bigger God than that. The God that created the world, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and when man became a living soul, He's a God that could do all things. Jeremiah, you go down to the potter's house. You see the potter work his work on the wheel. And the potter will make some vessels that he can use and some he don't use. Jeremiah, you go tell Israel that you're in the potter's hands. Aren't you thankful to be in the potter's hands? Okay, number three. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Man would never know God if Jesus hadn't come. How beautiful it is. Jesus come that we might know the Father. That we might see the Father, that we might understand the Father, that the Father's will might be revealed in His Word to mankind. Might know the Father in salvation. I remember when the Lord convicted me of my sin. How lost I was. But He came and revealed unto me, verse 11 of John chapter 1, to them gave He power. Where'd that power come from? Come from above. Come from above. I didn't have the power, neither do you have the power. But God gave us the power to believe. Even believing comes from Him. Faith comes from Him. Everything we have comes from Him. Salvation. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Except the Father draw him. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Now, folks, I want to ask you, if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what it'd take. If that doesn't set your wood on fire, your wood's wet. Something's wrong. Know Him. Know the Father. Know Him in salvation. Know Him in separation. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Security. I feel so sorry for those folks that cannot see security. But I'll tell you one thing. It is only revealed through the Word. You and I don't figure it out. It's in the Word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says you're sealed. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed. And I want to tell you, grieve is a love word. You'll have a hard time grieving somebody that doesn't like you. You'll have a hard time grieving someone that doesn't love you, that doesn't care for you. Let me give you number 4, verse 11. And I'm sorry to skip these verses. It's tempting to go back, but I could dwell on these verses a long time. Verse 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, here it is, that they may be one as we are. You may call yourself Pentecostal. You may call yourself Methodist. You may call yourself Baptist. You may call yourself whatever. But do you know what the truth is? Every one of God's children are covered by the blood of Jesus. Forget denominations. Forget denominations. That they may be one. Spiritual union. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. Let me make this remark. Scripturally, the groom always seeks his bride. And you don't have it the other way around. Well, maybe in this day and time. But I'm talking about the way it ought to be. The groom seeks. Aren't you glad that he sought you? Not only did he seek you, he bought you. He paid for you. We need to be of the same mind as the children of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 says, of the same mind and in the same judgment. Ephesians 4 through 6. He gives us 7 unities, one body, one spirit, one heart, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. How many are there? 7. Completeness. We are complete in Jesus. Not in ourselves, but we're complete in Jesus. Look at verse 12. You'll have number 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world. I'm at the wrong place, aren't I? Let me get verse 11. I'm sorry. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. He says it again. That they may be one. We are one in Jesus. Jesus was the fulfiller of all Scripture. And I'll stick my neck out here without, I might get it cut off. Turtle don't get anywhere unless he sticks his neck out. Did you observe that? I believe Jesus fulfilled the entire Old Testament. Boy, glad to hear some amens. Woo! You know, I make that remark some places and there's the door. Oh, that makes me feel good. Amen. To know there's other people that feel that same way. But Jesus fulfilled all. He don't have to come back and lick the calf. Farmers, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. I can give you scripture after scripture after scripture that tells us that Jesus has fulfilled. In fact, do you know what the word fulfilled? Jesus said, I come to fulfill. I'll throw this in, it doesn't cost any more. But Jesus said, I come to fulfill and not destroy. Do you know what the word, real word for fulfill is? Bring to its designated end. The Old Testament has passed away and a better has been given us. We've got a books, our books of grace. By grace are you saved. Through faith, and what is it? They're both the gift of God. Amen. Both the gift of God. Look at verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Look at it. Now, he didn't say that they might be happy. I was happy when I first got my BB gun. I was happy when I first got my little radio bicycle. I mean, wagon. Wagon. Thank you for helping me. I was happy when I got my radio little truck. I was happy when Dad let me take out the .22 for the first time. Didn't get any shells, didn't put any shells in it, but I knew where the shells were. I sure did. But that brought me happiness. And happiness depends on happenings. But I want to tell you, joy comes from the inside. The Master is the one that gives you joy. Knowing that you've been redeemed, knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Let me throw another one at you. Knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And do you know when it was written there?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Why do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that. Before the foundation of the world. Now explain that to me. No, it's beyond our ability to explain, isn't it? For him to know how ornery I was going to be. For him to know that I wasn't worth a plug nickel. Yet he wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brother, I didn't have any part of that. I didn't do that. And for him to tell me in 2 Corinthians 16 and verse 17, you are the temple of the living God. For him to tell me that. And then for him to set me free. My, what a blessing. What a blessing. Verse 15, have I read that? People have to help me out now. Verse 15, thank you. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. I pray that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know the Lord's Prayer is written in Matthew, chapter 5? And He tells us, lead us not into temptation. He gives us an example of what to pray. Did you ever think about the Lord removes temptation from His children? I don't know if you feel like this or not, but there's many times that I could have been tempted. And I have been tempted. But I feel like the Lord has delivered me because I'm His. Because I'm His. I really believe that. I really believe that. What a blessing. What a blessing it is. That thou shouldest keep me from the evil one. Verse 19. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That they might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctified simply means to be separated or to be set apart. Who set you apart? Who changed your being? Who changed your destination? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Wherefore be ye separate. Set free. I've been set free. John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then they said, now, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anybody. I wonder what about Nebuchadnezzar, and what about, well, sure they'd been in bondage. Some people just have trouble telling, But Jesus answered them, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. But we've been set free. We've got time maybe. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and 20. Well, let's begin verse 19. I can't skip that. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Let's go back to John chapter 6. Chapter 10. He said, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man take them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. Now, we're going to chase another rabbit. I'll get him caught pretty quick. Not as quick as I used to. If we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're in the hands of the Father, and we're in the hands of the Son, if the devil comes through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he's going to be saved. He's not going to want me. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. My mother, we used to sit at the kitchen table of a night, and my mother had been canning all day and take the jars out of the canner, and take the lid off the canner, rather, and she'd hear the jars go, tink, tink, and she counted every one of them, and she said every one of them sealed, and we enjoyed them that winter because why? They were sealed. Now, if we're sealed, not by my mother, not by my dad, but we're sealed by the blessed Holy Spirit, what shall we say to these things? God be for us. Who can be against us? Aren't you thankful tonight? Praise the Lord for His goodness. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Praise the Lord for His strength, for His power. He made me a useful vessel. Did I ever read that 2 Timothy 2:20?
No.
Never did read it. Okay, we'll do it this time. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are His. Excuse me. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also vessels of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified or set aside, and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. My, my. What wonders it is to know Jesus as our Savior. How we can rejoice as a child of God. And I want to tell you, it was all done by the Father before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You know what it says? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the belly, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Oh, the Lord's lost some of His power. He don't do that today. That's what some would tell you. But I want to tell you, He's just as powerful now as He was then. Shadrach, Meshach, Lockridge. Has anybody ever heard of him? He's a colored man. And I can't mock him at all, but he's got a sermon on Psalms 23. And he said, the Lord is. And that's as far as he ever got. The Lord is. And He always will be is. He still is. The Lord took the hammer, and I'll get some of this wrong, but the hammer of His strength, and hit the anvil of His power, and sparks flew therefrom, and He bedecked the heavens, and He said, let it be, and it was, and it still is. The Lord is, and the Lord still is, I want to tell you. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us. They be one in us. No division. No division. Just as a man and a woman come together. And the Bible says they become one flesh. So we become one in Jesus when He brought us unto Himself. Oh my. Marriage is a great example. Don't let anybody tell you there's anything else but a man and a woman that need to come together. That's the scriptural way. That's the biblical way. That's God's way. Verse 23. I in them and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, that the world get it, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How comforting is it for you to know that someone loves you? And the older we get, the sweeter it is. The sweeter it is. 54 years ago, I thought I loved my wife. I really did. But I found out, I know now, that love is stronger and sweeter and greater than it's ever been. And it gets sweeter as the days go by. But think about the love the Father has for us. Earthly love can't even compare. Can't even compare to the love that He had for us. That they may know. They may know. Verse 24. Father, I will. They also whom thou, here it is again, seven times I've mentioned, that they also, let me back up. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt what's in front of us. The best is always yet to come. I don't care how good you have it. You might be in the middle of the stream and have a smallmouth bass on each arm. I mean, if you want to fish with two poles. But I want to tell you something better than that. And that's an old pheasant getting up in front. No, no, no. I've experienced all of those things. And brother, I'll tell you, that's great. It don't get much better than that. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. To be with the Father. Just to know. Just to know that we're going to be with Him. You know, folks, here I go again. They talk about the streets of pure gold. I read about that. And the Bible says that gold's going to be clear as crystal. Have you ever seen gold clear like crystal? Okay. Somebody got my message. There's going to be something better there than streets of pure gold, isn't it? And that's Jesus. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and He was slain for me and for you. And He was slain for all that the Father hath given the Son. And it's all been done by God. All been done by Him. Okay. Number 12. I'm getting along pretty good. that they love, that thy love may be in them. Look at, I didn't put it down. Somebody help me find it. That thy love may be in them. Maybe the last, yes, last verse. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that thy love, with which thou hast loved me, may be in them. How important it is it for you to have somebody pray for you? Gets pretty important. Gets pretty important. But did you know this was Jesus' prayer that he prayed for his people? You can say that Jesus has prayed for you. If you go back and read very closely in this, he said, I pray not for the world. Check it out. I don't know what verse it was now. Like I say, I want to preach the whole chapter, but it'll take 2 or 3 days. But anyway, just for Jesus to say that the love which thou hast loved me may be in thee. Like I told you about how I love my wife. But to know that we have a heavenly love, a God-given love, passes all understanding. I don't have anything to describe it. I can't even begin. But how much does it mean to you for you to have the Son pray for you? I mean Jesus Christ, God's own Son, to pray for you. How much does it mean to you to be know that you are loved by the Father? How much does it mean to you to know that you're kept by the blessed Holy Spirit? I'm like old Vernon McGee. It's not pie in the sky by and by. It's pie right now. It's pie right now for the child of God. What a blessing it is that Jesus chose me. And incidentally, you'll have to look this up, but I believe it's in John 7:6. That may not be it. But as many as the Father hath given shall come. Amen. Shall come. To Him be honor. To Him be glory. Amen.